VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Just a bit of house cleaning before we begin today's program. We had announced a particular guest to be with us today, Gary Kaa. Gary will not be with us today, change in schedule, and has been rebooked for next Tuesday to join us on the program. Trust you'll be able to join us for that. One other note, last Friday on our news roundup, there was a story included on AOC that was written as satire, not reported that way, and for that we do apologize. Ladies and gentlemen, to our topic today, yesterday afternoon, tragedy struck Waukesha, Wisconsin. It was their annual Christmas parade as families lined the parade route, really taking a break from the stresses of our time. Children enthused, receiving the candy being thrown out to them. People were taking sips of hot coffee or hot chocolate in a windy, brisk afternoon in downtown Waukesha when tragedy struck. The Waukesha Police Department Chief Daniel Thompson said at 4:39 p.m., a red SUV drove through a series of barricades and into the parade route. Last night, Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley spoke to the media. Here's what he had to say.
Thank you. Sean Riley, Mayor of City of Waukesha. Today we experienced a horrible, senseless tragedy. I walked in the parade at the beginning. I saw all the happy children sitting on the curb. I saw all the happy parents behind their children. I can still see the smiling faces. A parade is a celebration for our community. Today, our community faced horror and tragedy in what should have been a community celebration. I'm deeply saddened to know that so many in our community went to a parade but ended up dealing with injury and heartache. My heart goes out to all those affected by this senseless act. My heart goes out to those injured as well as to their families. My heart goes out to those who were witness to these events. My heart goes out to those who lost a loved one tonight. I want to thank all those who sprang into action tonight to provide help and comfort to those who were injured. I pray for all those that were injured that they recover. I pray for those who lost a loved one. Thank you to our police and fire departments, as well as many others that have helped the city of Waukesha. There's other departments, the county, the state, the federal government has contacted me. They've all asked how they can help. I know that our first responders are also deeply affected by the events of the day, and I pray for them and that they find healing and that everyone involved in this situation finds healing.
That was Mayor Sean Riley of Waukesha. He was followed then by the Waukesha Police Chief Daniel Thompson.
Today's tragic incident occurred on November 21st, 2021 at 4:39 p.m. at Gasper Avenue and Main Street. The Waukesha Christmas Parade was taking place when a red SUV drove through the barricades westbound heading down Main Street.
Can you speak up, please?
Yes, I can. The vehicle struck more than 20 individuals. Some of the individuals were children, and there were some fatalities as a result of this incident. We will not be releasing information on fatalities at this time while we are working on notifying the family members of the deceased. An officer did discharge his weapon at the suspect vehicle to try to stop the vehicle. No bystanders were injured as a result of the weapon discharge. The officer involved has been with the department for 6.5 years. Victims were transferred by Waukesha Fire Department to the hospital. Chief Howard will speak on that. Police officers also transferred victims to the hospital, and family members also transferred victims from the scene to the hospital. We're no longer looking for a suspect vehicle. We do have a person of interest in custody at the moment, but this is still a very fluid investigation. I was present at this tragic event and saw firsthand the resiliency of the community coming together. I also want to thank all law enforcement partners, both federal, state DCI, state patrol, Waukesha County Sheriff's Department, Brookfield Police Department, New Berlin Police Department, FBI, ATF, and all our other partners who responded to assist from this tragedy. It is unknown at this time whether the incident has any nexus to terrorism. To the families involved, you are in Waukesha Police Department thoughts and prayers. To the Waukesha community, the scene is now safe and secure.
That was last evening. That was Waukesha Police Chief Daniel Thompson as he spoke to the media last evening. Well, we know more today than, of course, what they knew last night. In the aftermath, five people are left dead. They released the names just a short time ago. More than 40 are injured. Untold multiple thousands forever impacted by what transpired yesterday. Today we have someone in studio with us who was an eyewitness to this horrible tragedy. Matter of fact, also had members of his church there as well. We're speaking with Pastor Dan Rehoff, pastor of Dayspring Baptist Church. Pastor Rehoff, thank you for joining us.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for the invite to be here on a tragic day, a tragic week for our town and for the state. So I hope we can bring some light to this today and see what God has to say about tragedy.
Set the scene for us. I mean, you were at the parade yesterday afternoon. Several members of your church were there, too. Just planned it for a fun time together.
Yeah, exactly. You know, again, this is a Waukesha Christmas parade. So this is not, we're not at a protest. We're not at a rally. We're not at a riot. We're at a fun parade. And this is where people bring their kids. You know, I don't know, Jim. I think I saw somewhere that this parade's been going on, I want to say like over 100 years, but maybe I'm wrong on that. But the parade has been happening for a long time in Waukesha. And we started going to this parade as a church because we had a float in the parade. And so we did a float in the parade to invite people out to church. And we had puppets that would sing Christmas carols. So the other bands are playing, you know, whatever, other Christmas songs. We're doing Silent Night and Away in a Manger, and the puppets are kind of singing it. And it was a tradition for our church the last 8 or 9 years. Well, whatever reason, we just decided not to do a float this year, which, you know, don't look into that too deep. I'm just saying we just said, let's not do the float. Mm-hmm. And we've always done it. So, but still a lot of people went there, and we were out there handing out flyers for an upcoming Christmas event in our church and handing out tracts and stuff. And we just love to do that. And so there we are, maybe 20 or 30 people from our church spread out across Main Street there. And we're right there in the middle of town, and we're just talking, and we're meeting people from the church and people from our schools and just saying hi and sipping on hot chocolate. And it's just a wonderful parade. It's just fun. It's just fun. And and all of a sudden, you know, just out of nowhere, in the middle of conversation, we hear kind of like a crunch. You know what a car accident sounds like? You know, that distinct sound of kind of like metal just, you know, crunching. Mm-hmm. And it was loud. It was close. And we all just kind of, what was that? Because you're not expecting anything, Jim. You're just expecting fun. And it just, in the moment, we hear a crunch, and we look up, and there is this SUV right in front of us. It had just hit a float, maybe 15 feet to our right, a little bit east of us. And in a moment, I mean, in seconds, that vehicle from hitting that float speed, like, you know, the engine, you hear the engine rev and speeds past us. Now, for those of you that have ever been to the parade in Waukesha, Waukesha's are really, the downtown is really small as far as the streets. The streets are narrow. There's parking spaces, but barely. And so the place is packed. There's thousands of people that come to this parade. And there's kids lining the curb. So if you kind of imagine a sidewalk, a curb, and then like a two-lane street, very small. And the kids are all out there, and they're always reaching for candy because all the floats are passing out candy. And they're out there. They're reaching forward. They're always scooching forward. Yeah, and this car, this SUV, barrels past us what seemed like 50 miles an hour. But I'm sure it wasn't, but boy, it feels like that. And we just look down, and there's all of our kids and friends that we've been meeting and stuff. How in the world our kids didn't get hit? I have no idea how their feet didn't get run over. We were inches, if not feet, from this vehicle. So it wasn't like we saw it on the other side of town. Mm-hmm. My associate pastor who was there with us, he literally could have touched the vehicle. It was that close to, I mean, literally inches from him. And the vehicle sped past us, and then it hit another float, like just 5 feet to the west of us. Mm-hmm. And then just sheer panic by people, just everybody, of course, you're not expecting this. Everyone jumping up, everyone screaming. You're not expecting this. People are getting up, people are running, people are screaming, and just kind of that moment of chaos.
Did you witness the vehicle hitting individuals?
So, okay, so I didn't see them hit a person. Mm-hmm. I saw them hit the float. I mean, I don't know, I guess if I look back in my mind, were there people on that float? Mm-hmm. I don't quite remember, but just to the left of us, my associate pastor and some of the people from the church saw the dancing grannies, mm-hmm. and the seniors out there kind of dancing to Christmas music. And they literally witnessed a few of them, people getting hit and getting run over right in front of them and in front of their children. I mean, so talk about horrific. You know, yes. you can't imagine this. You can't play it out in your mind. It's worse than anything you've ever imagined or saw on TV. It's the horrificness of it being so real. And it's so close. And, of course, you didn't plan for it. You know, you didn't go there going, okay, we're going to see tragedy today. Mm-hmm. It's just the last thing on your mind. It's the last thing on everyone's mind.
So you said chaos broke out on the scene at the time.
Yeah, chaos broke out, and everyone stood up, and of course, my wife and I, you know, we're and grabbing the kids and going back up against the stores, because, you know, downtown Waukesha is lined with stores and restaurants and sidewalks and two-lane road. And all the people get up and, of course, pull back because we don't know. Of course, by now, and again, this they make it sound like this is minutes long, but this is only seconds long. But, you know, there's a police car, you know, in hot pursuit. There's policemen running, you know, they're screaming. Everyone's screaming. Everyone's pulling back. Everyone's looking out of the way. Everyone's grabbing their kids. And in that moment of what is going on, you know. And of course we're thinking. I should be hearing gunshots now. You know, I'm envisioning, because you hear of the riots, you hear of those mm-hmm. kind of things that take place. You're just kind of envisioning. All right, someone's going to get shot. You know, and we kind of just hunker down in that moment, just waiting for all that excitement to pass us. And then what I did too is, I'll tell you this. My son. So I've got my youngest son. His name is Cole. And he was with some of his friends from his Christian school, and they were at the end of the parade, like the end of the route. I was probably halfway, right down the middle of the route. They were at the end of the route, and they were handing out tracts and invitations to church to all the people in the parade, because we had been handing it out to people on the sides of the street, but they wanted to get the people, you know, the kids in the marching band, and make sure all these kids got stuff. And I picked up my phone and I called and said, you know, Cole, hey, you know, and he's like, hey, Dad, you know, Merry Christmas. And it's like, yeah, not right now, you know, and get off the road because there's a car coming. And it, in that moment, you're like, are you kidding me? I mean, what are you talking about? You know, you're just not expecting this.
Right.
And again, he was three blocks from us. So he grabbed his friends and they literally just ran out of it. I said, get off the road, go on the side street. And they did that. And just to get out of the way, and just didn't know what was coming, because you don't know what's going to happen.
We're going to pause right here. We're talking with Pastor Dan Rehoff, pastor of Dayspring Baptist Church, was a participant in the parade by handing out gospel tracts. Members from his church were there, saw the tragedy that struck Waukesha, Wisconsin last evening, and we'll have more to share right after the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly an example of evolution?
No, it certainly is not, Chris. The caterpillar has all the genes necessary for it to alter its shape into a butterfly and then lay eggs which could turn into a caterpillar. This is not evolution. It's simply growth. In fact, this is one of the greatest arguments against evolution. What could cause a perfectly happy caterpillar to attach itself to a tree and dissolve into a mass of jelly and come out with wings and legs and everything that a butterfly has? Natural selection would not do this. All of the genes would have to be present at the beginning and could not have been gained one by one. Chris, I think you recognize this as an evolutionary just-so story. A much better story is the one we read when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tragedy strikes Waukesha, Wisconsin Christmas parade. It unfolded yesterday afternoon. With us is Pastor Dan Rehoff, who was there ministering yesterday at the parade. Members of his church were there handing out gospel tracts. Yeah, some of the kids were gathering the candy that was being thrown out, a fun time together, a joyous time, kind of setting aside the cares of everyday life to just enjoy that setting together. He was there and saw this the red SUV that sped past them at a high rate of speed, especially we continue to consider the slow pace of a parade as it's going by. And saw the striking of a float, and we know also other members of the church actually saw some of the people that were struck. The aftermath here today, we learned the names of 5 people that are left dead, more than 40 injured. Some are in critical condition here at this point. Pastor Dan giving us a firsthand account of what he saw on the streets and what transpired. He said you contacted your son at the end of the parade route. Did that SUV ever make it down that far to them?
Right. So, Jim, the SUV made it pretty much to the end of the route. Where exactly it stopped at the end of the route, I'm not quite sure, but it did make it all the way to the end. I believe that's where I saw the vehicle at the end, and the police were apprehending the person. But my son and his friends that were with him actually went into the public library right there. So if you know downtown Waukesha, they ran into the library because, you know, my son's thinking, you know, he's no dummy. He's getting out of the way. And so they ran to the library, and he called me and said, yeah, we're in the library, and we're going to stay here. Of course, you know, Jim, I almost kind of laugh, you know, in the simplicity of the 17-year-old. He says to me, he said, Dad, you know, the library closes in 10 minutes. Or Cole, you know, it's okay. Don't worry about that, you know. Just so concerned about that. So kind of back to playing out that scene and painting the picture, Jim. It was chaos, and it was everyone's, our heart rates were just elevated, mm-hmm. blood pressure's up. You're just on edge because mm-hmm. you can't believe this is happening. I mean, this happens in other countries. This happens in the big cities, right? This happens in Paris.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen in Waukesha. I mean, mm-hmm. this is our hometown. This is southeastern Wisconsin. This is conservative area. This doesn't happen here. So very, very shocking to everybody, and you're just not planning on it. So my wife and I, okay, let's go. Let's get to the car. We'll go pick up the kids. They're back at the library. So we kind of had to head east, you know, to get the car to pick them up west on Main Street there. And as we literally just walk away from our spot, just to the right of us, you know, we're on the street, just 10 feet that way, is one of the floats was a pom-pom or a baton or like a dance group for little kids. You know, they're doing the Christmas music and they're mm-hmm. kind of doing the routines and all these little girls, you know, they're doing it. And we just look, and it looked like, at the moment, it looked like there's just dozens of kids laying. You know, probably realistically, there was probably a dozen, you know, but there's just their shoes laying all over the place. There's their hair breadths, their hair bands, part of their costuming, mm-hmm. their pom-pons, just scattered on the street. Like what had just happened? And I kind of have to think about this, Jim. Remember, parents left their kids, rightfully so, to do the parade with the group they're with, whatever group it was. And the parents are somewhere else in the parade line. The parents aren't with the float. Mm-hmm. Of course not. And so there's all these kids laying there with no parents. But that's not to blame anybody. That's just the reality.
Right.
Parents aren't there. So we just run up, and we're right there, and there's a little girl, I don't know, maybe 8 years old, and there's people laying around, and people are just coming up. And so my wife and I, you know, we're certified in first aid, and you know, we just got recertified in our CPR, and you know, in this moment, you kind of forget about all those things, and you're just okay. What's the reality of the situation? Mm-hmm. And you know, checked her pulse, and we checked, is she breathing? Is she responsive? And what's happening? And kind of just did a quick examination. You know, like literally, we're thinking, are legs intact? Are feet still there?
Mm-hmm.
Is she have an arm, you know, and we just examined it, and she was in shock. This little girl was in shock, wasn't responding, had a pulse. She was breathing very shallowly, And just a quick look, it looked like one of her hips probably was crushed, because you can kind of just see, you know, the body, the normal flow of the body, you know, one leg is more buoyant and kind of there, and the other leg and the side of her hip was flat. I mean, it's just awful as that sounds. And so we're just there, we're putting blankets over her, we're literally taking blankets from the sidewalk because everyone left. In the panic of the moment, people taking, you know, just running, and they leave in their lawn chairs, they're leaving their blankets, they're leaving their candy bags. I mean, it just looked like a war scene. And so we're just grabbing blankets and covering her up, trying to get her to talk. Of course, she's not responding. We don't know who she is, you know, and we don't know who mom is. We don't know, you know. And it felt like forever. It felt like forever we were there. It wasn't. It was maybe 10 minutes. But, you know, now the police are showing up, of course, and they're doing a wonderful job, and the EMT, and they're looking at everybody. You know, is she alive? Is she alive? What's the, you know, we're like, and we're just trying to tell them the obvious, you know. Got a blood, you know, blood pressure, or we got a pulse, and she's breathing. Okay, we'll come back, you know. Like, they were looking for a head count, you know, because it was, that's what they're envisioning. So finally.
And let me just capitalize on that just a bit, to add to that article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning, telling of Corey Montejo, a school board member of Waukesha School District. And here's what he said, very similar to what you're saying here, Pastor Dan. He said, there were pom-poms and shoes and spilled hot chocolate everywhere. I had to go from one crumpled body to the other to find my daughter. My wife and two daughters were almost hit. Please pray for everybody. Please pray. My family is safe, but many are not. I held one little girl's head in my hand. She was seizing and was bleeding out of her ears. I held her mother as she collapsed. Please pray.
Yeah, exactly. And that is the exact same trauma and tragedy we saw. The girl that we had, my wife literally was holding her in her arms, and she had blood coming from her mouth, coming from her nose, unresponsive, and you just don't know. And you feel terrible because, you know, mom's probably panicked looking for her daughter. So I tell you what, I'm really impressed with the EMT, the fire truck, the police. Boy, those guys and gals, that's top notch. Mm-hmm. Those people in Waukesha, I mean, they are A-plus number one, and they were doing their job and got over to us, you know, evaluating the situation. And finally, we were just so relieved. A mother came up, and she's like, this is my daughter. And she told us her daughter's name. And you just, I mean, imagine the panic of a parent saying, oh, boy, this is my child. You know, and so the mother is there. Of course, she's just sobbing, and we're trying to console her at the same time, trying to administer what little first aid we can in the moment. And then enough of the EMTs came, and it was her turn, and we lifted her up and we put her on a blanket, just someone's Christmas blanket that they were using to keep warm. And the police officer just had his SUV vehicle, and we literally just put this girl, unresponsive, limp, you know, but alive, in the back of an SUV. I mean, it wasn't like there was a paramedic there with an ambulance. It was like, get her to the hospital right now. And it just didn't matter how she got there. Just get her there. Because again, remember, they can't just get all the vehicles in and out. I mean, those guys are trying to get vehicles in, but there's, you know, 3,000-5,000 people trying to get out of there
in
their cars. So it's a traffic jam. So they got her up there and they took off and we got her name. You know, but we didn't, you kind of wish you would have got a last name, and we just said, we're praying for you. My wife prayed for her, which was really, you know, kind of a special thing. My wife, you know, is so smart about this kind of stuff. You know, just not knowing if the girl could hear, you know, or in a couple of, she prayed, and she just kind of went over the gospel with her, even though the girl wasn't responding. But just, you just don't know. There's someone listening. You know, this could be her last breath. And so she prayed with her and gave her John 3:16 and prayed for her. And told her about God's plan of salvation, just in case she was listening.
You also went and ministered later that evening at the hospital.
Right. So we finally got our car. We had to pick up our son kind of back to the library. He calls back. My son calls back. And I'm expecting him to say they got kicked out of the library. He said, well, now we're in lockdown. And now they won't let us leave. Well, we're 2 miles from the library. And we, you know, had to try to get back there. So we finally get back to the library. And we get all the kids out and the teenagers out. And then we said, you know what, we're just going to go to the hospital and just see. So we went to the hospital, and my wife and I just went inside, and I just went right to the sheriff, you know, because it's very secure. The hospital was on lockdown, not letting anybody in, not doing anything. And I just said to the officer, I said, you know, I'm a pastor, and we're just here to provide spiritual help and praying. Can we just pray with people? And Jim, I was expecting just the flat out no. Like, no, thank you, goodbye, stay out of here. And he's like, no, come right in. And he sent me over to about 15 of these officers and said, take him upstairs to the emergency room area. And we got to go through and pray with every single person in that waiting room, and gave him gospel literature and just did it nice, you know, just, but we were sincere. We prayed down, we wrote down all their names, you know, who can we pray for, what's going on. And they didn't know. I mean, it's just, you know, all the hospitals. So that was Waukesha Memorial, but Children's and Frater, I think they did a wonderful job of triaging the whole situation, mm-hmm. and dividing, you know, they sent some to Summit and Oconomowoc. Just top-notch medical mm-hmm. facilities we mm-hmm. have here, but they did a wonderful job. And we just wanted to just give some people a hug and just show them God's love. We're not selling anything. We're not trying to get anything. Just
people, the love of Christ.
People want the love of Christ, you know, mm-hmm. and in a moment like this,
yeah.
you know, normally you talk to someone at the store, you know, they say, I don't want to hear it. But when it's you and it's tragedy in a moment like this, people want to talk about Jesus. People don't say no to prayer when their loved ones in the ER, the ICU, you know, no one's an atheist at that mm-hmm. moment. And so we just praise the Lord. We're just able to I hope we give some comfort, and hopefully some people trusted Christ as Savior. And we just told them, so would you just call us and let us know how to keep praying for you? And if you need something, come to our church and we'll help you out. But so it was a long night. We did another hospital and just kept checking on things. And it just got so late, we just said, okay, well, I guess we're done for tonight. But it's just a hurting community, you know, and I think you said, 40 people were injured. I'll be honest, I can't believe it's only 40. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that number's wrong. I'm just saying from being there.
Yeah, I think you're saying at least 40. I mean,
it felt like 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just felt like 100. Mm-hmm. And as awful as 5 is, having passed away, I mean, that's terrible. I just can't imagine that number. Because that's 5 families, you know, but it seems like it should have been 10 or 15. I mean, that's the tragedy of the moment. I would have been like, you know what, there's going to be 2 dozen here that have passed away. But I hope there's no more. We pray there's no more. But 5 is terrible. I mean, I feel so bad. There's families that are hurting right now because, you know, grandma passed away or grandpa passed away or our child. And that's awful, Jim.
Yeah.
That's just awful.
Yeah.
You can't imagine it.
And indeed, there are many that are hospitalized, will be for some time, yeah. critical condition, and certainly we continue to monitor what is taking place along these lines as far as the injuries and so forth. And news stories are coming out here and updates from the police department. But we're going to be taking a quick break, and I just want to explore one other aspect. I know there's a lot that are looking at things from the legal perspective and all of this, but today we are focusing more on the spiritual perspective. And we're going to have you comment on this brevity of life matter here. And, friends, we're going to take a quick break and come back with some thoughts from the pastor. No doubt you have been impacted by this as well. As you see this tragedy unfold, you've seen it on the news, you've heard it, and certainly we're trying to break this down for us here today to understand when tragedy strikes and the challenges that are there. But, friends, it's also important that every person listening right now has a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll address that further after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
One of the prevalent conflicts in society is the battle over gender and marriage. We are flooded with stories pertaining to drag queen story hours, the restroom debates, gender reassignment surgeries, pronoun identification, biological males on female athletic teams, and so much more. These issues are not only confronting schools and businesses, but they have also encroached inside the church. Many are left wondering how to deal with these matters. The book, The Marriage and Gender War, addresses these issues head-on by using the absolute standard for morality as found in God's Word, and is edited by Bodie Hodge and Ken Ham. The book is designed to equip students, parents, Christian leaders, and others to uphold the truths of Scripture on these critical issues. The Gender and Marriage War is available for a donation of $16 by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking with Pastor Dan Rehoff, pastor of Dayspring Baptist Church, right there in Waukesha County. And was at the parade, was there for evangelistic purposes, handing out tracts, the gospel tracts, witnessing to individuals, members of the church that were there, and seeing this tragedy unfold, immediately being able to minister to the hurting and minister to families, going to the hospital, praying, etc. But, Pastor Dan, I'm confident that not one of the people who attended that parade yesterday had any idea that this was going to unfold. You mentioned how surprising. You don't anticipate, don't expect this. Everyone expected to go, have a wonderful time, sip a hot chocolate while they're there watching the parade, go back home on this cold, brisk, windy night to the confines of a warm home and talk about how nice the parade was. And we're reminded from scriptures that we do not know what a day brings forth. And we sometimes think we've got a whole life ahead of us. We think perhaps as a child, you know, I've got all my years ahead of me before I really have to think about eternal things. And even adults, we seem to, you know, to just put things off till tomorrow. But I'd like you to address this because we don't know what a day brings forth. And so it's very critical for every person, every listener to really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right. Well, Jim, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head on that, that everyone went to that parade, as we have done for the last 12 years. I've been going for 12 years. That you're going to go home tonight and it's another normal night here in Wisconsin, you know, a cool fall night. And so the whole thing changes in literally a moment, you know, everything changes. And it's a surprise to us. But as I was thinking about it last night, it's not a surprise to God. As crazy as that sounds, you know, God's not the author of evil, but God knows what's going to happen. And before the foundation of the earth, He knew that this was going to happen in Waukesha. And it doesn't mean He caused it. Doesn't mean He made it happen. You know, I think about what the story of Job, you know, Job loses his family. He loses all of his assets. He loses his kids. He loses everybody. And what does he do? He falls down on his knees. The book of Job says, and I'm glad it wasn't me because I would have had some choice words to say to God. But in the moment, Job says, well, you know, I'll praise you, God. You know, you're still in control and God's still on the throne. So it wasn't a surprise to God. But God, because of sin, you know, there is sin in this earth because of what happened with Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis until now. We live in a train wreck. We live in a sin cursed world and there's sin and bad things happen to good people. You know, it's just the bottom line is people get cancer. People die. People have car accidents. People get sick. People lose their job. Bad things do happen. God knows it. Doesn't mean God made it happen. Doesn't mean, but it's the result of sin. You know, we get sick. Someday we'll die because of the ultimate result of sin.
Man chose rebellion against God.
Exactly. Right. And in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, they made a choice. I'm just going to rebel against God. Well, you know, we have to remember this, that sin is carried all the way through down to us. And even on our best day, Jim, our best day, you and I, I'm a pastor of a church, you know, we still do bad things. We have a bad thought. We have a bad look. We have a bad second look. We something comes through our mind. We think about something and we still sin. And, you know, God says this. God says, I love you, but boy, I tell you what, I can't accept sin into heaven. You know, that's the whole thing of the Bible from the cover to the cover is God's a holy God. He's a just God. And you know what, if God did what, you know, what just being holy and just would say, God would say, you know what, you're all going to burn in hell because you've all turned against me. You've all rebelled against me. I don't know any of you, anything, but you can't forget God is also the God of love and He's the God of mercy. So although He's holy and just and says, you know what, your sin keeps you from heaven and I don't want anything to do with sin. There's that story though, is I'm a loving God and I'm a merciful God. And I want you to spend an eternity in heaven with me. And so God did, which is interesting. You know, we talk about Christmas. What is the whole story of Christmas? The whole story of Christmas is Jesus coming to be born in a manger to literally God coming in the form of man. You know, side note, the Christmas parade yesterday is all about Santa Claus, right? It's all about the materialism and it's all about, you know, the secular excitement of it. The only mention really of Jesus at the parade yesterday was any churches that were handing out gospel tracts, as sad as that is. But that's the true story of Christmas, mm-hmm. is that Jesus came to pay the sin debt. So yeah, the story of Christmas, Jesus came to be born in a manger and to grow up and to live a sinless life. But the story of Easter is that Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to hang on a cross to pay your debt for you, because you can't pay it. You'll never pay it. Jim, you and I in our best day can't be good enough to pay the sin debt. We just can't. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect. And so God said, I will pay that sin debt for you by sending my son. You know, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, probably the most popular verse in the Bible. You see it at the Packers games, you know, people write it on their chest or whatever. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes. Now, Jim, I have people asking this all the time. They forget that the word belief is there. I'll have people say to me, well, I got to go to church. I got to become a member. I got to get baptized. I got to quit doing drugs. The Bible doesn't say you got to go to church to get to heaven. It says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, believes that Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay their sin debt, that he's the Messiah, he's the Savior of the world, they're the ones that have everlasting life. The person that's accepted that, that's believed that, I believe Jesus paid the mortgage for me. I don't have to pay the mortgage. He paid the mortgage for me. Now, Jim, I say all that to say this, though. It's good to be good. There's nothing wrong with being a good person. But, Jim, being a good person won't save anybody. Yeah. You know, and no one's getting to heaven by being a good person. As a matter of fact, I had someone say this to me the other day. He said, well, Pastor, heaven's going to be full of good people. And I kind of thought about it for a second. I said, you know, I don't know. Heaven's full of sinners. It's not full of good people. It's full of sinners that have been forgiven by accepting the fact that Jesus paid their debt for them. So I'll be right at home in heaven, because we'll be a bunch of sinners in heaven, right? You know? And so that's what the gospel is just accepting the fact, believing the fact that, yeah, I'm a sinner. I can't pay it, but I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe he paid that mortgage for me, and I can know for certain I have eternal life. But Jim, you know, if we could rewind the clock, I wish that we would have been a little bit faster handing out gospel tracts. And I don't know, Jim, maybe one of those people that passed away, maybe someone witnessed to him 5 minutes before the parade. Maybe they got saved. I don't know. And life is so short. At the beginning of the parade, everyone thought they would be at the end of the parade.
That's right.
But so far, 5 people didn't make it to the end, plus 40. And I pray that that's all it is. I pray, dear God, that that's all that it is, because that's just so sad as it is. But we have to just remember that life is so short. And, Jim, you can't wait. Don't wait for tomorrow.
The Bible says that life is but a vapor. Mm-hmm. It's here for a time and then vanishes away. But we know what that vapor looks like here in the northern part of the state.
Oh, yeah, like a little breath.
Yes, a little breath.
Right.
And we see that take place. And we certainly, those who know Christ as Savior, are blood washed by the blood of the Lamb. As you brought in Christmas, Scripture tells us that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world.
Exactly.
And he longs to be the Savior of everyone. God's not willing any should perish.
Yep.
That all should come to repentance.
That all, everyone. Mm-hmm. Now, God's desire is that all men. I mean, his desire from the creation of time was that all would spend eternity with mm-hmm. him. I mean, you look through the Bible. How many times it says all and everyone? I mean, over and over and mm-hmm. over again, God's desire, his desire is for all to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, as the Savior of the world.
And Scripture also tells us that today is the day of acceptance. Yeah. It's the accepted right. time. And ladies and gentlemen, as you're listening here today, and think of the festivities you may participate in, going mm-hmm. to a parade or going to this event or to that event, or even driving down the nearest highway in your own locale. But friends, know again, life is but a vapor. And the question is, had you been in the line of that SUV that was going at a high rate of speed right. and had been hit by that, and you entered eternity, where would you be today?
Exactly.
In heaven
right.
or hell?
That's the ultimate question, right? Where are you going when you die? Yeah. You know, the question isn't, do you go to church? The question isn't, do you drugs? The question isn't, you know, is the term, you know, Johnny, President Carter ruined it for you. You know, are you born again? You know, the question is, where are you going when you die?
Yeah.
You know,
and
do you know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior? I mean, have you accepted that he paid the sin debt for you?
Yeah.
You know.
Pastor Dan Rehoff with us today on Crosstalk. We're opening our phone lines. If you'd like to enter into our discussion, maybe you want to question something that's been said today, our phone number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Indeed, tragedy has unfolded in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And friends, it would be an even greater tragedy for you to know the way of eternal life and to cast it aside for another day. It'd be a tragedy for you to know the gospel, that God so loved the world, as Pastor just quoted, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a tragedy to know that information and to cast it aside,
yep,
saying some other day, some other people, not me. I've got my own thing. I've got my own way. I've got my own religion. And friends, we'd like to hear from you here today. 800-733-9829 on Crosstalk. Again, that's 800-733-9829. Pastor Dan, for those who would like a website for your church or learn more information about your church, could you give out your website?
Sure, absolutely, Jim. Our church is located right there in Pewaukee, which is in Waukesha County. Pewaukee is the town next to Waukesha. And our church's website is just dayspringbaptist.com. So it's real simple, just dayspringbaptist.com. Baptist.com. And they could go to our website. You know, Jim, I tell you, I've got, if we got a minute here or maybe later, I got this really good book that I read. It's a great book. It's actually by one of the guys that's on your program here on VCY here in Wisconsin.
Pastor Jim Scudder.
Pastor Jim Scudder, yeah. And the book is, it's called Why Life Hurts. It's a little book. It's not a heavy read. I don't know, maybe it's 100 pages. I got a case of those at our church. And if someone wanted them, I only got about 100. That's all I got. I don't have 10,000. But the book is just really good. It's a really easy read about why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow pain? And what do we take? What's the takeaway from that? How do I move forward in my life if someone's dealing with cancer or an injury, or maybe there's someone that was at the parade last night? If someone wanted one of those books, like I said, I got like 100 of them. If they wanted to email the church, you know, the address to use would just be the word info, I-N-F-O, info, at dayspringbaptist.com, info at dayspringbaptist.com. If they just wanted to email me and say, hey, I'll take that book, I don't know if that's fair or not. I only got 100, but if someone wanted them, I'll just mail them. I'll put a stamp on it and mail. It's free. I just want to help people. We're not trying to make any money on it, but just if they want it, I got about 100 of them. I'll send them to you.
That's info at dayspringbaptist.org.
Dot com. Right.
Okay. And check it out there, info at dayspringbaptist.com. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Tom calling in from Buckeye, Arizona. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, I was listening to you, and you mentioned something about that heaven is full of sinners. And I don't know how you can say that, because Bible and Psalm says this is the death of the saints. And I believe when we get saved, we're no longer sinners, we become saints. But we will still have that temptation to sin.
Okay. Tell you what, Tom, we're up against our normal break here, so we're going to take the break, and we'll have Pastor Dan address that after the break here, because we're going to take in context the very things that Pastor Dan had to speak. So stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On November 11th, I had the privilege of producing and moderating a town hall meeting, four of them, in fact, four one-hour town hall meetings with a live studio audience. My guests were four retired FBI agents. One of them, Terry Turchie, is the former Deputy Assistant Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI. All of these men have distinguished careers and covered some of the biggest cases in American history, such as the Unabomber, the bombing of the USS Cole, and the Archer Midland Daniels Corporation case, just to name a few. These men are warning about the Marxist takeover of the Department of Justice and how now that Marxist Department of Justice is taking over the FBI. It is a stark warning, and it's been picked up by very patriotic, pro-police law enforcement agencies. You can watch all hours at WVWTV.com.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Pastor Dan Rehoff with us today on the program. Tragedy strikes Waukesha, Wisconsin Christmas parade. So the caller right before the break was asking about saying, hey, you said that sinners are in heaven, but he said there's not sinners in heaven. And again, we talked about the necessity for context here as to what you were saying there. These are sinners that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Exactly. And boy, I sure appreciate the question. You know, in the context of what I was mentioning was that good people don't make it to heaven. You don't go to heaven by being good. Of course not.
Right.
Sinners that are forgiven because they've trusted in Christ as Savior, they're the ones that go to heaven. So, yeah, absolutely. Are we sinless in heaven? Of course. Are our bodies redeemed in heaven? Of course. Are we in perfect communion with our Heavenly Father? Absolutely, positively, when we're in heaven, of course. But good people don't make it to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Sinners that have been redeemed make it to heaven. So heaven's full of people that were sinners, but such were some of us, right?
But
now we're washed and we're saved and
Amen.
We're redeemed.
Amen. Let's go to Charlie in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. You're on there, Charlie.
Are we in perfect communion?
Hello, Charlie. Charlie.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go to David in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
I really appreciate the pastor and your words. I'll tell you, I've had a lot of health issues, and every time I talk to somebody scheduling, I'll simply ask them how they're doing, and it's amazing how hurting a lot of people are. And you can get people to open up simply by saying, you know, something like today I talked to a lady, and I said, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing on the phone there, ma'am. I said, I don't know how you do what you do. And she said, boy, I really appreciate that. I really needed to hear that. And I said, it sounds like you're having a rough day, and her voice started to break. And I realized, I said, it sounds like you're really having a rough day, and she says, I am. I said, can I pray for you? And she started to cry. And I asked her if I could pray with her, and then she really started to cry, and she said, I have to get going because there's others, but please pray for me. And what I'm realizing is, our society is unraveling. It's spiritual insanity out there.
Yeah, exactly.
And every time we walk past somebody, even in a store, you know, just tell them, I appreciate the work you're doing. It's got to be hard working in this environment. And people are opening up like crazy.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, simply asking if we can pray, it's amazing how people are so receptive to any sort of spiritual input. I think it's just a starving world, and Lord is the only answer that we have for them.
You're right. It is a starving world. I think the word that explains our society today, if one word, if I was going to explain our society, is despair. We are living in a world of despair.
Mm-hmm.
People are desperate for answers, and they're trying to find it in the White House. And it doesn't matter, Jim, who gets elected. The answer is not there. They're going to find it in an infrastructure bill. Listen, the infrastructure bill is not going to fix society.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a human, it's a heart condition.
Churches need to come together. Yeah. And not talk about prayer, but prayer.
Yeah.
I was attending a small church, and the pastor has had a number of people come together and pray. We so need that, utilize that gift.
Churches
so
need to be together praying. Yeah. There's just no doubt about it. It's a great thing. That's really good. Thank you.
Thank you, David, for your call here today. Again, it's not who resides in the White House. It's who resides in your heart.
Yeah,
important. Right. We've got Warren in Watertown. You're on the air.
Yes, it's Warren. I was calling in. I want to pray for the EMT people that were there when that happened. I know you know about the Oklahoma bombing with the fireman carrying that little child. I thank God that I'm not an EMT. We serve an awesome God. He got us through the Oklahoma bombing.
Yep.
He'll get us through this.
Indeed, Warren, and we can thank God through the tragedy that we can keep our eyes focused on Him. Pastor Dan, you mentioned the word despair. With Jesus, it's just the opposite. It's hope.
It's hope, exactly. And I think as Christians, I mean, to all the people that are believers are listening, you know, we really ought to be people of faith. We shouldn't be the people of fear because our answer isn't in politics or it isn't in finances. We have a hope. We have the hope of the resurrection. We have a hope of Jesus Christ. We really should be leaders in our community, in our society, knowing that we have an eternity waiting for us in heaven to help people and pray for people and to show love. I mean, now's the time we need to be really just showing love.
Warren, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Ann is next in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Hi, I want to thank you both. I don't want to take much time, but my comment is underscoring the man who just spoke about talking to someone on the phone. I never speak to anyone unless I do hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. But I just wanted to say, in these moments, I'm involved with film and the Alec Baldwin, the tragedy of a 42-year-old woman getting shot. I was able to say, listen, no one knows when their life's going to be taken. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I would never approach anyone at the parade or near someone 5 degrees of the parade with this because it's so sensitive right now. But someone that knows of the parade, it is a great testimony to say they went there for that good time. The devil arrived. God will turn it into something good, but we never know when our last breath is.
Right.
And this guy accepted Christ on the phone, and he was a telemarketer guy, and he was crying and all the above. And I thought to myself, once you do tell someone about the gospel without sounding critical in any way, but almost with levity, they've been served. They now have been served.
Thank you.
And they have a choice.
Thank you, Anna, and for the call here today. I'm going to squeeze one last caller in from Newark, Ohio. Mark, you're on the air.
I just want to give my condolences to the 5 that died and the other 40 people that in the hospital fighting for lives or receiving healing.
Yeah.
I just hope the pastor goes back here again and just really flood that area with his congregation and really get prayers going over there for them.
Absolutely.
And that gets the power of God in there.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Pastor Dan, we have just 45 seconds left in the program. Would you just lead us in a word of prayer regarding this overall situation and certainly that eyes will be open to the truth even
Amen.
In the midst of tragedy?
Right. Amen. Yeah, that we want the gospel being brought out. So let's have a word of prayer together and we'll pray together, everyone listening. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. We're thankful for all you've done. Lord, we are praying right now for the families that are affected by this tragedy that they would understand, they would learn that God loves them so much, he sent his son to pay the penalty for our sins, and by simply understanding by accepting that Jesus Christ paid my debt for me in the death, burial, the resurrection, I can know for certain I have eternal life. And Lord, that's what we're praying for our community. We're praying for healing. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We pray for those people that were suffering and those families. Bring them to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Dan, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
Pastor Dan Rehoff. Again, the website, dayspringbaptist.com. The email address, info@dayspringbaptist.com. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.